What an absolute honor it is to be here. I was a former student here at Tyndale not too long ago. I got to meet who was a dean at the time, one of the deans, Barry Smith. We were in a French class together. And I don't know if you guys know Dean, but Barry, but he is a little bit of a prankster. And it was good to be in his class. You would have thought that the dean of the school would be the polite one and not give any problems, but I'm just putting him on blast here. He's one of the most rowdy students that I was ever had the privilege of being with. But that was Barry. If you don't know him, go greet him, and I'm sure he has some stories that he can tell you. But enough of that. I want to get into the Word of God. Are you guys ready for the Word of God this morning? Are you guys ready for the Word of God this morning? We are going to be in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 14. We're going to be at verses 27 to 42. You can turn there in your Bibles. And here's what I'm going to ask. Could we actually stand as we read God's Word? Here's what I want us to understand. When we read God's Word in this moment, it's like God speaking to us. And I was a youth pastor for many years, and one time I went and visited a former youth who was in the army, and we were sitting at a bench. And while we were sitting at a bench, somebody walked by, and when he walked by, that youth of mine had to stand up and give him attention. I'm saying this to say, this is why I want us to stand in this moment. We want to give God full attention as he speaks to us in this moment. Again, we're going to be Mark chapter 14, verses 27 to 42. Here's what it says. Here's what he says. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." And Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same, and they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John. And he began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it was possible, that the hour might pass from him. But then he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came to the third time and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it indeed is still alive, that indeed it still has power, power to convict, power to correct, and power to align us into your will and your way for our lives. And so, Lord, in this time, would you allow your word to speak in and through me this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as Keisha mentioned, my wife and I, we've been together. We're going to be going into our 17-year anniversary. Yes, I know I look it that I could have a wife of 17 years, but we have been married for 17 years. Now, we got married pretty much right out of high school, and we've been together ever since. With that, we now have 4 kids. Okay, so we have a 17-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. Now, here's the thing about my kids. It's very interesting, and I'm very blessed that this is a thing. My kids, They love to like fight over who loves daddy the most, who will do the most for daddy. I'm like the, all my kids are the biggest, like my daughters, you know, daddy's girls, and even my son who's one, it's crazy how much he loves me. On a side note, my wife is so jealous of me that this is the case, that our kids love us more. And it's the truth. They love me more. And I know she may be watching online. You know it's true, babes. They love me for more. That's just the way it is. Just like the song just said, it's just the way it is. But in that, they're always wanting to do like stuff for me to kind of prove their love for me. And they don't have to do it. I'm not asking them to do it, but they do it. And they always do these things where it's like, whatever you want, Dad, I got you. And I know the thing about that is, be careful what you ask for, because I'm going to put you to the test sometimes. I'm going to ask you to do some things. But so here's what will happen sometimes is I will ask my daughters. I'll look at a room that's messy or something that needs to be done around the house. And I'll go to them, and they will say to me, and sometimes I've been like, I'll look at like the most dirtiest room just to see how much they really want to show me they love me. And I know this is interesting. This is something I do. It is a thing. And so I do it to see, show them, as much as you'll say you'll do everything for me, there's some things I know there is limitations. And I bring this up because a couple of times I've asked them to do things and they weren't able to do it. And it's okay that they weren't able to do it, but I knew that they weren't going to be able to do it. And it's okay. It doesn't mean that I love them any less. It doesn't mean that I'm not willing to go to like the ends of the earth for them. It's just the reality of what it is. And in the story that we just read, we have a similar situation with Jesus. We have him with the disciples. And to them at that point, they're saying, I will never fall away. I will never fall away. But Jesus actually says to them, you will all fall away. Everybody say all. You will all fall away. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I will go before you in Galilee. And Peter said to him, even though they all will fall away, I will not fall away. And Jesus says to him, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. And so they're there and they're all saying they will never fall away. They'll always do what is called and asked of them. The reality is we're all going to fall short. We'll never meet that mark. It's the very reason why Jesus had to come. None of us are perfect. None of us will actually be able to obtain all the things that the law says we're supposed to follow. And it's so great. Honestly, it's so great that we have this loving Father, this everlasting God that recognizes that we all will fall short. And he comes and dies in the worst of ways for me and for you. Sometimes we forget that fact. And just because of that, I want you to turn to your neighbor in this moment and say, neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, we're going to talk to each other. Say, neighbor, oh neighbor, you will fall short. Now, turn to your other neighbor, look at another neighbor around you, and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, I'm sorry you were my second choice. But you will fall short. Now, it's interesting if we look at this story that Jesus in that moment, he knew that they were going to fall short. But if you look at verse 28, he highlights something. He said, knowing this, he still makes this comment at verse 28. But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Meaning, even knowing that Peter is going to deny him, that they were all going to fall short, he then makes mention of the fact that even after all of that, and they might not even fully understood it at that time, that even after that, I'm still going to go before you in Galilee. What he's talking about is after his death and resurrection. He's going to be with them in Galilee. And so this is the thing that we got to understand. In the midst of when we fall short, here's what the enemy would love to do is when we fall short, he's going to try to get in your head and he's going to try to discourage you and he's going to try to keep you down. But we got to understand that we have a God that never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen? That no matter what we do, he's still always going to be there. So with that being said, if you don't remember anything else this morning, here's what I want you to remember. No matter what, trust in Jesus. Everybody say, no matter what, trust in Jesus. When we mess up, when we fall short, he's still always going to be there with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. But like I said, the enemy's going to want to come through and he's going to do all sorts of interesting things. But we got to remember the truth of Romans chapter 8 where it says this, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to our flesh, but according to our spirit. Again, in those times, our flesh is going to want to tell us to live a certain way, but in the midst of that, let's not follow the flesh. We have to depend on the spirit and recognize we are no longer those who can be condemned because of the love of Jesus Christ. So I say it again, no matter what, trust in Jesus. No matter what, trust in Jesus. Now, continuing on with the story, we have in verses 35, it says, going a little farther, he fell on the ground and he prayed. This is Jesus. And he says, if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Sometimes we're going to pray things. And the things that we pray, they're good things. But they're not in line with God's will. And in the midst when that happens, we got to be at a place where we trust God no matter what. Jesus is in this moment, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows what he's about to do. He's getting ready to be tortured, to be ridiculed, and to die in the worst of ways. And in that moment, Jesus, the human side of him comes out and he says, please, Father, take this cup from me. But then he says, but not what I will, but what you will, Lord. He takes his cup. And I'm so glad that he did. He takes his cup, and the whole time he's thinking about me. He's thinking about you. He's saying, I want to be back into relationship with my creation. In that moment, he says, I'm going to trust Father beyond myself. And again, I'm so glad that he did that. He allowed himself then to be arrested. Now again, picture this, the creator of the universe being arrested. He could have just totally switched things up and not allowed himself to go through what he went through, but he did. Again, thinking about me, thinking about you. He takes his cup. He gets arrested. And while he's arrested, he's getting carried or brought to be tried. He's getting punched at, spat at. Again, thinking about me, thinking about you. He goes before, and he literally could have said, no, I'm not what they say I am. And he could have been good. But no, he takes his cup. He holds his cup. He literally goes through, I'm just going to fast forward, and imagine this. He's on a post. And somebody, because he's been sentenced to be scourged, who's literally whipping his back over and over and over again. But the whip wasn't like a regular whip. It was a whip that literally, it had lead and glass and all these shards that the whole point was to make them suffer, that every time, and sometimes we don't even fully fathom what it was like, that every time they're hitting him, they had to have somebody that was extremely skilled, that would literally latch onto his back, and then he would pull it back. 40 times going through this, thinking of me, thinking of you. And sometimes we lose the awe and not recognizing what it is that the creator of the universe did for me, did for you. Spat at, punched. They literally mock him and put a crown of thorns in his head, piercing his head and blood coming down from the top of his head. He's holding his cup. Remember, he got scourged and they put this robe on him. And then just before they put him on the post to be able to be crucified, they rip it off of him. Have you ever had a Band-Aid that was on for a while? And then you rip that off. And that little pain that you have, imagine your entire back ripping a robe off your back. Again, thinking about me, thinking about you. And then they give him the cross to carry. And they carry it roughly 2 football fields. This is not no light cross. He's carrying it with everybody looking at him. And the embarrassment that would come with that. Again, he holds his cup. And then he gets on the cross. They lay him down. And I'm just reminding you, I know you guys know the story, but I don't know if sometimes we just forget the magnitude of what has taken place. They stretch his arm and they shove a big nail through one hand. And here's the part that sometimes we don't fully understand. As they stretch his arm, next arm, as far as it could go. And then again, very skilled individuals, they would then, as this is bolted in, they would stretch the arm even further beyond what was actually humanly possible. And in that moment, all that were there would actually hear the person's ribs start breaking. Again, he held this cup, thinking about me, thinking about you. Shoved an even bigger nail through his legs, thinking about me, thinking about you. And then every breath, once they lifted him up, every breath that he took, it was a struggle. And that was the point. They would have them struggle until they would end up dying. He held his cup, thinking about me, thinking about you. He trusted beyond himself in that moment. He was like, not my will, but yours. And so the question that I have for you guys this morning is this. You guys are here, you're students. So I'm just visiting, sorry, visiting. And I know life happens. And there's things that we desire, but then maybe the Lord might say something different. We may even pray things that sound great in the eyes of man, sound great even by those closest to us. But if it's not in line with God's will, if it's not in line with God's will, that is not the place you want to be. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You want to be in line with God's will. And so the question I have for you guys is, are you willing to hold your cup? No matter what you go through, no matter the circumstances, the situation, no matter how tough things get, are you willing to hold your cup? The Lord may send you places that nobody wants to go, but the Lord wants you there. Are you going to go? Some of you are in school right now and you're going in a certain direction, and the Lord may say, I want you to go in a different direction. In that moment, are you going to be willing to say, not my will, Lord, but yours? Not my will, God, but yours. And here's the thing about that, and the reason why this is so important. I want to stress this and make sure you guys get this. In this movie that we're part of life, from the beginning of time until when the Lord comes back, I want you guys to understand this. You are not the main character in this movie. We're the supporting cast trying to accomplish His will, which is greater and beyond ourselves. So you need to be willing to trust God, and trust God no matter what. His ways are higher than your ways. His ways are better than your ways. You may be here and things have been easy, but there might come a time where things are going to get difficult. And in the difficult time, are you willing to trust God no matter what? Turn to your neighbor and ask him, are you willing to trust God? Lord, we are so grateful for what we have in you. God, we know there's times where it's easy to say that we're going to live for you and follow you when things are easy. The same way it was in that moment with Peter and the disciples to say, yeah, no matter what, I'll never fall away. But life happens. And when life happens, are we going to be like Peter and sell out and not be willing to let people know, yeah, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are we going to continue to trust you no matter what? Lord, there's some here, and maybe they're at a crossroads, and there's something that their flesh is saying, there's something that Spirit is saying. I pray, God, that they would yield to the Spirit and say, in this moment, in this time, not my will, God, but yours. God, we're so grateful that you were willing to do that for us and that you held your cup for us, so that we could have life and life to the fullest. And so, Lord, in response to what it is that the Creator of the universe was willing to do for us as mere humans, can we get in line with your will? And can we just trust you? You'll never leave us nor forsake us. I'm not promising that it's always going to be rainbows and Skittles. But what we can be assured of is that you will be there with us, giving us everything that we need. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that. We give you praise for that. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we pray all of this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.